Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis 39. I'd like to look at the first six verses of this chapter tonight. I've entitled this message, Joseph, the Trusted Servant. We would all do well to remember Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that happens to this young son of Jacob sets forth the glory of the Lord. And if we're looking for the Lord in this passage, our hearts are blessed. If we see Christ, then we rejoice. If we see just Joseph, it's just a history lesson. And I'm not here for a history lesson. You're not either. We're here to behold the glory of the one before whom we're all going to stand. The scripture begins, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, you remember how he got there. His brothers hated him. Hated him because two reasons. Number one, they hated him because his daddy loved him more than any of them. Well, I get it. I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of jealousy there. I get that. But that's a picture now. Remember, Joseph being a picture of the beloved son. This is my beloved son, Father said, in whom I'm well pleased. So the scripture sets forth that Joseph was more loved than the other brothers. You know, normally speaking, a dad would never reveal that. You know, you got kids and, you know, I don't know. Sometimes there's just one that just kind of sticks out, you know. But he's not going to say anything, you know. He's not going to divulge that, but the Spirit of God divulged it about this son to the glory of the Lord Jesus. So they hated him because his daddy loved him. But they hated him, secondly, because of the revelation that the Spirit of God had given through him. He dreamed those dreams, and they didn't like those dreams. His dreams said that, speaking of himself, he said, we were all out in the field there, and they had some sheaves that were all stacked up. My sheaf stood up straight, and your sheaves kind of bowed down to me. Not kind of, they did. They didn't like that. But again, that's the Spirit of God prophesying what was going to happen, not only to Joseph when he would be elevated to the position in Egypt, but also the glory that's going to be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess this side of the grave or that side of the grave. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Well, they hated him, put him in a pit, was going to kill him, decided not to. And then Almighty God sent a caravan of Ishmaelites, and his brothers sold him. Sold him to those Ishmaelites. They brought him into Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. That's how he got there. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, he suffered. He suffered at the hands of his jealous brothers. And now he's been providentially brought down to Egypt. Now, you know why. This is where God's going to provide for his family. But the way that the Lord got him there, he got him there by having his brothers sell him. And here he is. He's purchased as a slave. He's purchased by a man that was named Potiphar. But this man Potiphar providentially now. He's an officer of Pharaoh. He's going to have to be put in a place where he's going to be instrumentally used of the Lord. He's going to have to be thrown in prison. He's going to have to meet a couple of fellows in prison. There is a men that were servants of Pharaoh, and he's going to have to. They're going to dream some dreams, and Joseph's going to interpret those dreams. And then later, Pharaoh's going to dream a dream, and he doesn't know the interpretation. And these fellows trying to get with Pharaoh, get on his good side now. They're in jail. They're going to say, well, we know a guy that's interpreting. It's going to, I'm not getting too far ahead, but I just want to tell you, he's got to get in Potiphar's house. So Potiphar buys him. And he's there now as a servant to a man named Potiphar. And you know how strangely the providence of God appears to men. How the Lord, and we know that the Scripture says God is working all things after the counsel of His own will. All power has been given unto the Son by the Father to work all things in this world. Everybody that you meet, every event that happens to you is worked according to the purpose and will of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's going to cause His people to cross paths with the gospel. They're going to have to hear the truth. And so here's Joseph, and he's in this place. He's got to be sold to a man named Potiphar, and we could say, I wonder if did it have to be like that? Listen, the Scripture says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He does as He will, and all things work together. How many times do we go over that Scripture? All things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So the Spirit's dealing with Joseph is a fit picture and a type of that which must happen to all God's sheep. Now, he's a picture of Christ, but he's also a picture. I can see pictures of believers. Now, I want you to look at something that I was really blessed to see. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. He was brought down. He was brought down. Now let me tell you just a little something about that. He was brought down. No man, no woman would ever bring themselves down. By nature, I don't want to go down. I'm pretty satisfied with myself. I'm born thinking that I'm not that bad. I'm not, as I've said before, I may not be as good as everybody, but I'm certainly not as bad as most of them, in my opinion of myself. Now that's a selfish opinion. That's an arrogant, selfish, foolish opinion. But that's the truth. That's man by nature. I'm doing good. It says Joseph was brought down. We need to be made to realize what we are. But notice where he was brought down. The Scripture says he was brought down to Egypt. He was brought down to Egypt. Now you say, okay, well, what's the significance of that? Egypt, throughout the Scriptures, think about how many times in Scripture, all through the Scriptures, Egypt is always spoken of as the bondage of the people of God. Egypt. How many times? You can go over in the book of Acts. I'm reading the book of Acts where they talk about Egypt. They were in Egypt. They were in bondage in all the plagues that were there. God brought them out and brought them through the Red Sea. He was brought down to Egypt. So I looked the word Egypt up. I'd never looked it up before. It's just a country as far as I knew. Egypt. It's from a word, it's from a root word that means a limit. A limit of besieged places. This is the limit. This is the ultimate bondage. Egypt is a picture of the bondage of sin. There's no bondage, Fred, like the bondage of sin. You know, somebody gets arrested and they're in handcuffs. Well, okay, eventually they'll take those cuffs off. They may throw you in jail, but they'll take the cuffs off. You know, somebody holds you down, gets you arrested or something, eventually they're going to let you go. But there's no bondage like the bondage of sin. You don't just escape. It's in us. He was brought down to sin. He was brought down to that place. He was brought down to. He's a picture now. Remember, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, that Egypt, that type or description of the depth, the ultimate depth of our bondage, and we must be made to see that. See, the reason man by nature, Mitchie, he don't believe he's really in bondage. I'm not in bondage. I mean, what do you mean bondage? I'm free. This is America. As of tonight, at least, you know, we've got some freedoms. You know, we still got something. You know, we do. But this is the United States. We're not in bondage. This is a free country. Oh, but there's a bondage that man by nature does not realize by birth. He doesn't realize the bondage of sin. I can't get away from it. It's me. It's in me. It's in me. I was conceived in sin. And I come forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. I'm a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by practice. Sinner by nature. He was brought down to Egypt. Man is born thinking that he's got a little good in him. Good compared to what? I've said, you know, you take a maggot and you compare him to another maggot and they're both still maggots. There's no good compared to God. No, this is it. We're powerless to release ourselves from the bondage of sin. You say, well, I've got a free will. No, you don't. I've said this, if I had a free will, I'd fly. I wouldn't worry about going to an airport. I'd just fly. If I had a free will, I think I'm going to just fly. I can't fly. Why? Because my nature, I can't fly. I'm not a bird. I can't, there's things I cannot do. I cannot choose to not be a sinner. I can't choose to free myself from the bondage of sin. He was brought down to Egypt. And I can't just name it and claim it. Just, you know, decide that you don't want to go to hell. Just decide you don't want to go to hell and presto. I just don't go to hell. What about the justice of God? What about the law of God being honored? What about righteousness that is within me that's said to be nothing but filthy rags? He was brought down to Egypt. All the rebellion against God just going to be swept under the rug and we're just going to be saying, that's over. No, he was brought down to Egypt. Here's Joseph now. Remember, he's a beautiful picture of our Lord, the obedient servant of Jehovah, God's beloved son, God, one with the Father, one with the Spirit, God Almighty, Jehovah, one God manifested in three persons. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the obedient servant of Jehovah, he made himself of no reputation. He came into this world to seek and to save his people from their sins. And just as Joseph was said to be brought down to Egypt, that setting forth the lowest that you can describe a sinner to be, that place that set forth, that total bondage. And here the Lord submissively humbled himself to the good pleasure of Jehovah and was made sin. He was brought down willingly. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. But he obeyed, submitted himself to the limit. That's what Egypt means. Remember, the limit of besieged places. And he obeyed and finished the work of redemption because of the depth of our sin, because of what we are by nature. That's what he was made to be. I don't even know. I can't even describe it. I've told you everything I can tell you about the depth of our depravity. And still, I can proclaim it. As Brother Scott used to say, I can't explain it, but I can proclaim it. So here's Joseph, the beloved son of Jacob. Here's Joseph now. A man of God's love. He was the son of a man that the scripture said, and God loved Jacob. God loved Jacob. It says he hated his brother. And when it says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, you know what we say? Lord, as you say it is, it is. That's the way it is. Can you explain that? Nope. Can't explain it. But I can tell you that this is what is. And Jacob, the beloved son of Joseph, the beloved son of Jacob, here he is. He's sold into Egypt. This Jacob is in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is too. Joseph too. And he's sold as a common criminal. Servant, just a common slave is what he is. And here he is, all these trials that he's got to suffer to set forth the truth of how God Almighty would set his chosen vessels of mercy free from the bondage of sin through the merit of the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Joseph, God's going to use that man, and he's going to really suffer. He's going to suffer. He's going to hurt. He's going to be mistreated. He's going to be lied on. God's going to send that man, truly a historical figure. He's going to make him go through the trials and the fires of adversity to glorify his son. God does what he does. He's right. Horribly mistreated. Sold to a bunch of Midianites for no other reason. It was just a convenient way to get rid of him. But is that not what Judas did? Judas made some money on it. Got 30 pieces of silver for selling out the Lord. His brother's got 20 pieces of silver for selling Joseph. Here the Christ, sold as a common criminal, the beloved Son of God. So here's Joseph brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, here's the amazing thing. You know, he says he prospered. Joseph was a prosperous man. You know, Proverbs 1:32 says, for the turning away of the simple, that is the ease by which the simple turn away from Christ. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, the God, the little g God of this world, the little g God of this world, is prosperity. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money, prosperity, power. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They'll go right to their grave, seeking after the things of this world, and leave this world without Christ. But the God of the wicked, the prosperity of this world, says Scripture, according to Scripture, shall ultimately prove itself to be their destruction. Because this prosperity, turn to Luke 12. You know this scripture. This prosperity has stolen their heart. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought with himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these be which thou hast provided? I have got so much stuff. I don't know what to do with it. I got so much fruit, vegetables, money. I got so much money. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tear all these barns down. I'm going to build bigger ones. And I'm going to take my ease. And God told him, you're a fool. This night, your soul is going to be required of the Lord. It's going to be required of you. Then what are you going to do with all this mess? Listen, the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But it says here that the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. But you see, what was prosperous to Joseph was that the Lord was with him. And that's the prosperity of a believer. That he knows God. That he's got the Lord as his Lord. And the Lord said, I'm your God, you're my people. That's prosperity. What else do you want? What else does a believer want? Here's Joseph. He's prospering. He's where the Lord is. He's where the Lord's put him. And he's there to divinely magnify Christ. Now, I don't know everything that the Lord's going to do for every one of us. But I do know this, that the Lord orders the steps of his people. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He works all these things. It's going, whatever we go through, whatever we suffer, it's going to be for our good and his glory. I know that. That's prosperity. That's prosperous. He was a prosperous man. Oh, the comfort assurance that we're with our Lord, our God. We're where his word's being preached tonight. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to church. No, you're not. God is with us. I believe that. Two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm in the midst of you. That's prosperity. We're rich people. Rich people. We're rich. We're rich in faith. We're rich. The Lord there. Oh, how Joseph's prosperity glorified Christ concerning the work that he was doing. But did not our Lord, did he not find himself as being the glorious, prosperous son of his father? And here's what his father said of him. Isaiah 42:4. He shall not fail. Joseph was prosperous. God was going to accomplish what he desired to accomplish, ordained to accomplish through Joseph. He's going to accomplish all that he's purposed through the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. The Lord told his disciples, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Remember when the Lord said to his disciples, when he met that woman at the well there at Sychar, he had to go through Samaria, they went and got something to eat. He told them concerning what he would eat. He said, "My meat, my sustenance was to do the will of the Father that sent me, finish his work." That's the final victory over sin and Satan and the world. He said from the cross, "It's finished. It's finished. You prospered." He did not fail, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And then the scripture says in verses 3 and 4, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." Now, the scripture says his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And Joseph found grace in his sight, in Potiphar's sight. Proverbs 16:7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Joseph was noticed. He was noticed, he was accepted, he was promoted by Potiphar because Potiphar trusted Joseph. He trusted him. Even though Potiphar didn't know God, the Lord says nothing concerning his spiritual state of knowing him, but he perceived, that is Potiphar, perceived that the Lord was with him. And everything that Joseph did prospered. And Joseph, therefore, found grace in this earthly master's eyes, Potiphar's eyes. Now here's Joseph. He's a type of Christ, God's servant. And he found grace. Joseph found grace in Potiphar's eyes. Joseph found grace in Potiphar's eyes. Hold your place, turn over to Isaiah 42:1. Isaiah 42:1. This is what the Spirit of God set forth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken as the Father would speak. "Behold," Isaiah 42:1, "behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Here's Joseph. He's found grace in Potiphar's eyes because of his faithfulness, trustworthiness. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Father says, "You behold my servant, the one in whom my soul delights." Potiphar made him, the scripture says, in verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And he, that is Potiphar, made him overseer over all his house. All that he had, he put into his hand. Now, where do you think I'm going with this? Where do you think I'm going? What has the Father done for the Son? What has the Father done for the Son? John 17:1-2, "These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Even the unbeliever may perceive something. in one of God's own that causes him to be trusting of him. Now I realize that visual perception of graciousness is not enough to produce conviction of sin, salvation. Faith cometh by hearing. You know the only way that a believer is ever going to be converted. Only way. They're going to have to sit under the sound of the gospel. That gospel, that message that honors God Almighty totally in the salvation. It gives man no glory. It gives man no honor. It doesn't magnify man in any way. It doesn't beg man to do anything. I'm not begging you to do anything. I'm telling you that God's going to do what God wants to do. And if he's pleased to save you, let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to save you. And then he's going to tell you about it. I'm not going to beg you to come down here. We're not going to sing 14 verses of Just As I Am. I'm not going to ask you to come down to this piece of carpet here and pray through. I'm going to tell you what God says. And I'm going to wait on God. And if the Lord's pleased to save you, he's going to do it. So this man, he perceives something in Joseph. That's perceiving graciousness in somebody won't save you. You must hear the word of God. But Potiphar, by the good pleasure of God, saw and was touched with the exhibition of Joseph's faithfulness. And he trusted Joseph. He trusted him. Trusted him with everything he had. But that trust was imparted, instilled into that man to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through Joseph. And it came to pass, verse 5 and 6, and I'll close here. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the trust of the Father has, the trust that the Father has for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 1. We've read this passage many times, but it's very fitting that we look at it again. The Scripture says, while you're turning there, the Scripture declares that everything that Potiphar had, well, we're going to see there's one thing that he did forbid Joseph to have. One thing. His wife. We'll see that, Lord willing, next time. But everything that he had materially, he trusted Joseph with it. Put it all in his hand. Ephesians 1, 3 to 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him, in whom also ye have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now you think of what we just read. God loved the people from before the foundation of the world. He gave them all to Christ to redeem them, to live for them, to earn an obedience, a righteousness for them and impute it to them. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He's revealed everything that He's done for us in these Scriptures. He's everything that He's done. This is His purpose. He's going to save His people from their sins. They're going to be holy and without blame before them in love. And He's trusted all of us to the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish it. And God trusted Him with it. God's will, God's counsel, God's purpose. Everything that He has determined that He's going to do for us His people, He entrusted that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you work it out. You live for Him. You die for Him. You bring them to Me. You bring them to Me. He trusted Him. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said at the beginning of in Proverbs chapter 8, He is speaking of Himself as wisdom. He said, in chapter 8, verse 22, He said, the Lord, Jehovah, this is Christ speaking. He said, He possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to His seed the decree that the water should not pass the commandment which He appointed under the foundation, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. He saw the Lamb. He saw Christ slain. How far back did He see that? Before the foundation of the world. He saw, the Father saw the Lamb lay down His life. He laid down. He saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In time it happened. But God saw it eternally. He trusted Him. He trusted Him. Brother Scott would say, put all of His eggs in one basket. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. So much did the Father trust the Son. And when He spoke, when He speaks of salvation, He speaks of all salvation as in the past tense. Past tense. This is how God declares salvation. Romans 8, 29 and 30 says this, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. You know what that means? We're already in glory. See, I don't understand that. I don't either. But I can tell you this. In the mind, will, and purpose of Almighty God, it's done deal. It's done. What about those that have not been called out of darkness yet? It's a done deal. Done deal. God is the I Am. He don't live in time. He's eternal. Everything with God is ever, forever, ever. To this world, Joseph, the Scripture sets forth that he was a goodly man. He was a handsome, that's what it means. He was a handsome man. He was handsome. He was a strong, young, handsome man. That's what he was, a goodly man. Good. To this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing about Him that's appealing. Nothing appealing about Him. The Scripture sets forth that we saw no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. And that's the way man sees Christ by nature. Till the Lord gives a man or woman a heart for Christ, I take him or leave him. Oh, you'll leave him. If God doesn't do anything for you, you'll leave him. We saw no beauty in him. But concerning Christ and the altogether loveliness, that's what the bride said in Psalm of Solomon 5. He's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. And concerning the Lord's being, the Lord being altogether lovely. Let me tell you something that is unbelievably so, but it's so. It's, we believe it. It's not unbelievable. It's believable. But this is the way it is. 1 John 4:17. You want to know how we, the elect of God, bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, robed in His righteousness? Let me tell you what the Scripture says about us who are sinners by birth, sinners by practice, sinners by admission, robed in His righteousness, washed white in His blood. 1 John 4:17 says, as He is, so are we in this world. That's where we are. Oh, the beauty of this young man, Joseph. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to find a great trial that this young man's going to go through. And by the grace of God, you know what it is. By the grace of God, God's going to keep him. God's going to keep him. But in all of that that he went through, picturing the faithfulness of Christ, be praying. I want you to read that. Take chapter 39, start in verse 7, and go to the end of the chapter. And Lord willing, that's what we'll look at next week. For the glory of God and for our good and comfort. Amen.